This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
In the studio, our next guest, we have Simona Castricum, who is here to talk about a show called Sync. But before we do that, Simona, if we could maybe just get a bit of background on you. How did you get started in the arts? And how did your love for it come about?
Oh, well, I guess I got started in the arts, as a creator. Probably in the 90s, just through the music scene, I guess, and just emerging as a queer person, I guess, through that scene.
Is it just something that you were always interested in? Or, yeah. You know, and as a child growing up, all those sort of things, or people you knew, or how did you just fall into it?
Ah, well, I just watched Countdown in the 70s and just myself. You know, Molly Meldrum did just such a great job of putting queers on primetime TV. Yep. And I was like, that's me. Seeing yourself reflected, you know, just before you're about to sit down for dinner.
That did have so much impact, didn't it, on generations. Everyone and the whole family sat down to watch Countdown too, didn't it?
Yeah. For me, it was a 4-year-old, you know, seeing Sylvester, you know, on the TV in 1979 was a bit like, oh yeah, now that's definitely seeing myself reflected. And then sort of like, you know, Boy George, Annie Lennox, Grace Jones, and, you know, seeing gender nonconformity, I guess, through that. And I was like, yeah, okay, I think that's what I want to do with my life.
But fantastic.
It just sort of like took a while to, I guess, sort of like own that.
Yeah. And what about the music side of it? You know, like you mentioned Countdown, I suppose, because it exposed so many people. On the music front, you know, like, were you influenced on that front as well?
I came of age, I guess, like through like Melbourne rave culture and club culture, and, you know, I wanted to figure out drum machines and figure out drumming, like electronic drumming, and, you know, I guess like finding my place in rave spaces and, you know, in like queer and like, you know, queer clubbing of the 90s, which was a wonderful time. You know, sort of unprecedented, yeah. I think.
Well, Melbourne, I don't know if you're aware of this, but Melbourne was one of the biggest nightclub underground scenes for music in the world per head of population.
Well, absolutely. Like, you know, places like Razor, for instance, has got like such a, you know, great lineage, but also like, you know, Shed 14, you know, I think, and, you know, like, you know, parties like Winter Days, for instance,
know,
like hold such a really beautiful place in my heart. And it was always like, how do I get from the dance floor up to the DJ console, or how do I make, you know, big sort of like techno pop bangers, you know?
And so, how did you do that? Yeah. How did you get from the dance floor to the decks?
Oh, well, it was sort of, I guess, like by the time I got through the 2000s and I started to find musical communities and I started to find how, you know, how queer and musical communities sort of came together. And it was, you know, it was like how clubbing became sort of, you know, and party spaces became this place where you could find community and you could find, you know, like-minded people, and, you know, where we could explore our sexuality and explore our gender identity as well, and sort of celebrate that together, and, you know, find relationships and build community, and but also just like, you know, there's like an ecosystem of artists and creators, and, you know, there's, you know, a really great sort of like supportive network that's, you know, been ushered in, and, you know, we're really reaping the rewards of that, I think.
Oh, absolutely. And with Melbourne being such, you know, like, and it was emerging then, you know, with the whole music scene, but it's come through, the arts as such an important part of Melbourne's lifestyle now, isn't it?
Yeah, so I guess like I'm sort of only just coming into like, you know, figuring out, I guess, a creative like arts practice outside of the club. And, you know, I mean, I sort of like stumbled through it through studying architecture, but also being a musician, and how architecture and music sort of informed, I guess, this practice of like, yeah, like how do you put on an event and, you know, what sort of a space do you need to create in order for people to feel safe and that, you know, that they feel that they can make those connections and to be themselves in those spaces. So, yeah, I feel like, yeah, the practice of architecture and music has really come together, I think, just recently, like, it's like through my PhD. But, yeah, the opportunity to explore it through places like Arts House.
Okay, I've got to ask you, PhD, what did you do it on? Because I love some of the topics that people come up with. It's the weird and wonderful situations. Tell us, what was yours?
I love how you're asking me that in the past tense, because it's like I'm sort of like on the ongoing like end of it. It's a bit like the Sistine Chapel, you know, like when will it be finished, when it's done.
Yeah.
And, so I'm doing it on trans and gender diverse experiences of architectural space and practice, but it's articulated as an album and a performance and also a report, I guess, or you know, like, because I figure that, you know, I can communicate so much more through a 4-minute pop song at a festival than I can through like a 10,000 word report that just sits in a library, and it's, you know, very only sort of, it's a very elitist way of trying to articulate really important information, and it just sits in a university library, and I'm like, well, no, I want to make it more accessible, you know. So,
I think that's happening more and more with people doing their PhD, aren't they? We had somebody on the other day that's in the middle of theirs, and they've actually put on a couple of events that, you know, like they've, you know, like they're past now, but they're using them and all the information and all the video that they took, that's part of their PhD. And yeah, you're right. And it should be living, moving.
Well, yeah, I think, you know, particularly in architecture, we just get in, you know, all these symposiums happen and conferences happen. And it's just people sort of standing and delivering, you know, papers and stuff. And I've usually fall asleep after about 10 minutes. So I'm just like, let's put on a show. Yep. You know, that's a really great intervention into that format.
And is this show part of your PhD?
No, it's an extension of, you know, the same themes. So SYNC, I guess, is, you know, sort of dealing with themes, I guess, of, you know, how queer space and how trans space is produced, particularly within sort of hostile normative environments, binary environments of, you know, I'm always sort of dealing with, I guess, architecture in the city. So I guess like SYNC is this idea of, you know, of that very, you know, central queer theme of, you know, how do we find a place of safety, of belonging, of catharsis, I guess, within these very sort of hostile environments, I guess. The city being that, so it's just explore. It's picking up on the same themes, but yeah, I'm working with Carla Zimbler, who's a 3D visualization and projection artist.
And how important is that these days? Some of the stuff they're doing visually nowadays is just I think it's just gone leaps and bounds in the last 2 or 3 years.
Yeah, you know, it's really about pushing what is the stage, what is the theatre, what is, in fact, what is the cinema, you know, like I performed my PhD at the Capitol Theatre, for Melbourne Music Week, and like to perform what I was doing in that space was just like the message and I guess the thematics of what I was communicating in that theatre was just like a whole other thing, apart from, you know, it's like it's so different to perform it at the Tote or to perform it at, you know, at Golden Plains Merida Festival or something like that, and then to perform it in a cinema and you got everyone kind of, it's a very formal space, and then like towards the end of it, like everyone was up standing and dancing and stuff. So you know, that's the energy that I want to bring to these spaces. It's just like free people up, you know.
Okay, so what can people expect on the night?
Yeah, so I am sort of, you know, banging the drums a lot. I'm sort of really leaning in, I think, to like, you know, the singing drummer a little bit. It's been a bit of a guilty pleasure. So I'm just sort of like really queering the Phil Collins.
Oh, I was going to say, is there any singing drummers? And I had him in my mind and you mentioned it straight away.
Yeah, well, I have this Madonna microphone and I've got fluorescent drumsticks and I'm just using, you know, big sort of gated snares and toms and electronic drum kits. It's sort of like a mix between, Phil Collins and Pseudo Echo and...
Gosh.
hold on.
mic and Madonna microphone.
And Phil Collins and Pseudo Echo, worlds apart, aren't they?
Well, you know, I don't think so. But, you know, I guess that's what, you know, that's what it's all about, is just, you know, putting, you know, a whole lot of strange references together and you know, not being bashful,
yeah.
I think, about yeah. where these things come from. But, you know.
And so how involved do you want the audience in this evening?
Yeah, so we're you know, I kind of like to play with this idea of, like, stadium techno. Of, you know, obviously, like, you know, when we think of, you know, like, queer performance of music in things like stadiums, you know, if we go back to, like, the Disco Sucks movement, which was, like, you know, the only place that, like, you know, like, electronic music existed in the 70s in the stadium was, like, at a baseball stadium where they were, like, burning disco records. And that was really homophobic. It was really transphobic. It was very racist. And, you know, so, you know, it's like bands like Depeche Mode, you know, and, like, the sort of house and techno movement, like the KLF, like, put out this video called, like, Stadium House. And so, you know, and then, like, Depeche Mode sort of, like, you know, brought synth pop to, you know, the masses in North America by, like, playing this huge concert at Rose Bowl in Pasadena, Los Angeles, you know. And it's like this, yeah, I'm picking up on those really queer references about how do we sort of occupy these spaces, which are usually very heteronormative, cisnormative spaces. And so it's like, well, okay, so how do we put a stadium in a town hall of, you know, and so...
That holds, what, a few hundred?
Oh, 60, you know, with, like, COVID, oh, you know, COVID okay. safe rules, you know.
Right. Okay.
When we've sold it out, which is great, you know, that's definitely a huge move. But, yeah, so we're sort of... I'm performing in the round. So it's, you know, it's sort of, you know, like a little... You know, Pink Floyd live in Pompeii about it.
Yeah,
as well. You know,
what, you keep on, so, you
but it's
keep
like
on
this small little,
so
like a small great. Little stadium, I guess.
Yeah,
but it's very intimate, and I'm not performing on a stage. You know, everyone can see in what I'm doing. They can see my drumming, and they can, and the energy. They're so close to me. They're like a meter and a half away from me.
Okay.
And it's not. We don't usually get close to drummers, and we don't usually get that close to electronic performers. And so, this very intimate performance enables me to make that connection with my audience. But I'm giving them, like, this huge stadium sound, you know.
Brilliant. And visually, it's going to obviously be quite spectacular as well.
Yeah. Then so above me is, like, this, you know, this curtain structure, and Carla will be animating or projecting this city onto it. And every time I hit a drum, I'm going to explode it.
Oh, okay.
Into pieces. And it'll sink and it'll disintegrate, right, and wow. And, you know, and there'll be a whole lot of different sort of moods, I guess, like, throughout the piece.
Right. And have you designed the cities?
Yeah.
You know, being an architect?
Yeah, so Cody McConnell is an architecture graduate who has been working on the 3D model for us.
Okay.
And it's just very, very institutional architecture. It's very sort of, you know, all the, you know, all the difficult bits, very hostile, very brutal. And yeah, so every time I hit a drum, we're just going to smash it to a million pieces.
Brilliant. And when's it on? Well, we actually haven't mentioned where it is. Where is it?
So it's at Arts House.
Yep.
North Melbourne Town Hall. Yep. So it's on Friday night and on a Saturday night.
The 16th and 17th.
Yeah.
Yep, which is next week.
It is.
Next weekend.
Yeah, we're installing this week. So, and we're really lucky to be in there because it's like the first shows that they've had in over 400 days.
Yep.
They only just opened up last week. Wednesday,
so
feel really fortunate.
Fantastic. Well, it sounds fascinating. Can we follow you on the socials?
Sure.
And is it just your name?
Just at Simona Castricum.
Right. Okay.
Yep.
All right. Well, and people, the podcast of this will be available tomorrow. So you if you're not sure of the name, you'll be able to pick it up there.
Cool.
All right. Lovely to meet you. And it sounds fascinating. It's sold out, is it?
It is.
Right. Okay. Well, first night or second night, is this?
Both nights.
Both nights sold out.
Oh, yeah. Gone. Oh.
All right. Good on you. Thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you so much.
Thanks so much, Simona. All the best. Now, we've been talking to Simona Castricum here on Joy 94.9, Sunday Arts Magazine.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.